I would like to first emphasize that this situation we're discussing is indeed materially inconceivable. I think that understanding is very necessary before we proceed deeper into this amazing incident during Srila Prabhupada's physical stay with us. I think that when you hear Rameshwar Prabhu speak, he'll be able to explain even more beyond what he did on screen about how this didn't make any sense. An order from the guru which made no sense. Just think, these days, if such a thing happened, what would the internet say? Try to understand the extraordinary contortions, transcendental contortions that the disciples had to go through. It was like someone pointed to water and said, "That's dry land. Just keep walking." And then after a little bit, you come to dry land, and someone says, "That's water. Swim." To your material senses, or shall we say, to be more charitable, to the neophyte sense, spiritual senses that we had back then, this was like running into a brick wall. And we're expected to emerge on the other side. Somehow, by Srila Prabhupada's ability to transport the potencies of the spiritual world to the material world, this mission was completed. In order to discharge that mission, the disciples had to just put out of their mind any notion that, you know, this actually doesn't make any sense. This is really over the top. I mean, I can just, how would we phrase it these days in contemporary ISKCON, perhaps? This is an example of excessiveness. This is fanaticism. This is lack of balance. Yeah, burnout. This is a burnout program, indicative of a lack of balance in your Krishna consciousness. We didn't have a second to think like that. Otherwise, we'd be finished. And Srila Prabhupada had laid down an ultimatum, as I was trying to explain in the little excerpt that the other Bhava Prabhu put. I can just repeat again and again. It made no sense, and you had no time to think it made no sense. You had to just get on board. Prabhupada's ultimatum was so, I don't want to use the word heavy, but it was just like the sky had fallen on you and you had to do something about it. I think this is very important for us to understand in our attempts to grasp the nectar of Srila Prabhupada. Love and compassion manifest in different ways. So in order for us to fully be able to appreciate Srila Prabhupada and his inconceivable contribution, we have to understand how his love and compassion manifested at times in the most inconceivable firmness. Like, this will be done. He had the love, he had the compassion to take that stand, and naturally the devotees wanted to reciprocate, even though their minds were completely boggled. But you didn't have time for your mind to be boggled. And as soon as devotees put their nose to the grindstone, an amazing potency descended. As for my foolish, tiny contribution, I'm just going to tell you this short story just so you understand how all these mystical things were happening. I was so happy in New York as a book distributor. That meant going out 7 days a week back then. And my goal was to be a top book distributor in North America. And for 2 years, I had gone out on Sankerton every day and done nothing. And nothing. And then suddenly, out of the blue, my desire was achieved, that I could, by Lord Chaitanya's range, I could distribute so many of Srila Prabhupada's books. I'm telling you this so that you can understand, in no way I intend to give that service up. In my eyes, I had attained the supreme destination of being able to go anywhere and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Suddenly, I became sick. Went on 1 month, 2 months. Devotees kept telling me, you have to change your service. I said, no way. You know, my neophyte conception, all other services are Maya. Finally, I had to admit it, that I couldn't go on like that anymore, coughing all day and getting up and going out for 2 hours and then come back and lay on the floor again. So finally, I relented. I went to Dravida Prabhu and I revealed my confidential secret. I said, you know, I've got some editing, copy editing, and proofreading experience at the university. Maybe they could use me at the BBG. 2 weeks later, I was on the plane to LA. And there, so many wonderful devotees had gathered. It was like the Normandy beach invasion when the Allied forces are all gathered on, in England, ready to cross the channel to face impossible situations and so much uncertainty. But we were there, and Srila Prabhupada was there, and of course that was our nourishment, that was our delight, that Srila Prabhupada was there.
I keep thinking, what?
How would we respond today in that kind of situation? To get an order from the guru which defies your material conception. Now, of course, we must understand, Srila Prabhupada was, in no way could you think he was irresponsible or just abusing his disciples. He knew what was possible by Krishna's empowerment. He had that vision of what his disciples could actually do regardless of their own conceptions of themselves. So, in no way was Srila Prabhupada going to back down. It's not that you could go to him the next day and you say, well, actually, I know you're doing your best, so you couldn't do it, so that's fine. You're still a nice devotee, a nice disciple. The situation was not like that at all. You felt like your spiritual life was on the line. So this amazing potency from the spiritual world descended. And for 2 months or so, devotees were just off the bodily platform, working 24 hours, practically speaking. My humble, tiny service was for basically 15 or 16 hours a day to read Chaitanya Charitamrita straight, and there couldn't be any mistakes from the typist. Day after day, reading 15 hours straight to make sure there were no grammatical errors, no spelling errors, nothing missing. Because, there's no word processing programs then. So the type composer is literally at a typewriter typing things. And that means mistakes. So just think, reading 15 hours a day, not just, oh, nectar, nectar. Of course, it was nectar, but Yeah. Is this word spelled right? Or is this grammar correct? Very grueling. It's like, I can only remember it to be like taking a physics final exam at the university, day after day after day, for 2 months. And the teamwork and harmony amongst the devotees, as you heard Raghavendra Mataji say on screen, that she had someone cook for her, she had someone do her laundry. Rameshwar Prabhu arranged a whole network of devotee support, which was unparalleled in his time at that time. Devotee care, devotee support. These words didn't exist in the language. You just put on your devotional clothes, you had your japa bead, you had your service, and all the best. Just to further demonstrate Rameshwar Prabhu's immense care for devotees program to get this mission done, I was still very sick. I couldn't digest anything. And the breakfast meant, sweet rice, halva, heavy khichdi, heavy dal, and then you're supposed to sit down at your office at the desk and read 15 hours a day without drooping and without missing any mistakes. So I had to do something which was very radical at the time. Please understand, you're going to laugh, but try to understand how unprecedented this was. I went to Rameshwar Prabhu and said, I can't eat with this serving. I can't do my service. I need a special diet. This time, night in the mid-70s, asking for a special diet. What are you, in Maya, Prabhu? Sickness and Maya come very close together. So, immediately, Rameshwar Prabhu did the impossible. He waved a magic wand and I had a special diet. What was this radical diet? Steamed vegetables and chapatis. This was a radical thing. But I had to go to the GBC, the BBT trustee, to get that. But in a flash, it was there. So, actually, looking back on it, on this situation now, I can understand that this was the first organized devotee care effort in ISKCON's history. Now, of course, to understand Rameshwar Prabhu's contribution, he was such an enthusiastic distributor of Srila Prabhupada's book, printer of Srila Prabhupada's books. It was his life and soul. I remember my office on Watsika Avenue, I would look out at 3:30 in the morning and I would see Rameshwar Prabhu just marching up and down Watsika Avenue. I said, wow, this is enthusiasm. And Srila Prabhupada made him the captain of this inconceivable team and actually put Rameshwar Prabhu's spiritual life on the line. He had to deliver. Now, I'd like Rameshwar Prabhu to correct. This is what I've heard firsthand. Now, I don't know if it... Are you going to show anything more of your... Is he here? Okay, I'll end with this. I heard, now you correct me if I'm wrong, but when the final book was brought to Srila Prabhupada, it was in Vrindavan for his Vyasa Puja?
Yes.
Yes. So, the person bringing the book, of course the books had been printed, but the final book wasn't in Prabhupada's hand. So, the devotee took the book to Vrindavan, flew from the USA, landed in Delhi, went to Krishna Balaram Mandir, and Prabhupada was walking out after his Vyasa Puja ceremony had finished and was in his quarters, and the devotee, with a great triumphant attitude, and it was an extraordinary triumph, emerged into the Prabhupada's room, offered his dandavats, and presented the book to Brahma, the last book, the greatest moment in ISKCON's history, the Mission Impossible. He presents the book to Prabhupada. Prabhupada takes the book. Oh, you have promised before the Vyasa Puja ceremony. Now it is after. Nothing's happened. What's the big deal? You promised the Vyasa Puja ceremony is over. You promised before. Now it's happened. The problem was always far beyond our conceptions, our material calculations. Of course, then after displaying such extraordinary detachment, he wrote the famous letter to Ramaswara and Company, which I'll let Ramaswara Prabhu, when he speaks, he'll talk about that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The ticket back to Godhead, Prabhupada put in everyone's hands.
So I'm just going to say a few words because I was not essentially involved with this. But I was thinking as I was listening to Maharaj speak. Especially off my basis, Om Gyanat Varandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Forgive me, I'm a little hoarse from that kirtan this morning. But actually, I can give a unique perspective that the others can't give on how these books were coming out or not coming out before this marathon, before the whole move to LA, because I was involved with the press in Brooklyn. And Devendra Swami, as he was mentioning, he was a book distributor. And I started proofreading in 1973. So I was working with the press on Tiffany Place. It was nearby the temple there. And so just to give you a contrast to the rate at which books were coming out and not coming out before this happened, I came and I was in 1973 in maybe September, maybe like that. I started reading, and I was reading the third volume of the third canto. I started reading Hiranyaksha and Hiranyaksha and Raha, that battle. I remember it very distinctly. Now, that's 73, and there's all of 74. And what we actually produced in that time was the remainder of the third canto, which, of course, is the famous Kapila Dev's book, which was my favorite book at that time, chapter 25 through 31, or whatever it is. So the rest of the third canto, and then the fourth canto. And that was it. For like 15 months, that's six books. That was the problem. That was the problem. Is that we were going at this... You know, this by contrast, I'd spend a half day at the press. I was the proofreader. And I would go out on Harinam at that time. We had 2 or 3 hours of Harinam. Spend a half day in the press. I would sit down. We had these heaters. Honestly, I would nod off a little bit, you know, sometimes, proofreading, and then it would go through. I mean, it was a sincere crew there, don't get me wrong. But the kind of impetus that has been relayed in the movie, and by David Maharaj, it's incredible. We felt an impetus, but nothing like that. And so, this was what the problem was. And Srila Prabhupada, he was writing the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita there in 1974. And that was just sitting. You know, that was sitting, and the fifth canto was sitting, at least fifth canto part two. That's what comprised these 17 books. The remainder of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, basically Madhya and Anjalila.
No, 15 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita and the 2 volumes of the fifth canto.
Okay, so the 2 volumes of fifth canto and the 15 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, all of that was sitting. Now, what happened was that... due to some other things I won't get into, the press was consolidated in L.A. I think Ramaswara Prabhu may clear up the chronology a little bit. And I was actually part of the support staff in this sense. We needed maximum editing power because the real the difficulty in these books is the Sanskrit and the English editing. That's where the slowness would come. That's what you really had to overcome. So we had Jaya Vaidaswami had to be freed up from back to Godhead, and then Hayagriva had to be brought in, and came to LA. So there's 2 English editors and a bunch of Sanskrit and Bengali editors.
No one knew
No one knew Bengali at all. He said, so we were just kind of just winging it. So I was working on BTG for the first about maybe 6 weeks of the marathon. So I was conscious of it because my room was right behind the composers. So I was always hearing the clack, 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 clack. I couldn't sleep. There was Ragatmika or Balai or Sita. One of the others was always, you know, 24 hours a day. And I was part of it in that sense. But then, for various reasons, and Yamaraj was always going, and Archita. I mean, there's a whole crew we could go through.
Could you explain the equipment? It's another century.
Nothing, you're going to do that.
No.
I just want to know what I was doing. So at a certain point, they needed another English editor. We were down to one editor, and they needed another English editor. So we had a little contest, and I won the contest. There was so many qualified devotees. Ramaswamy brought everybody in who like, practically knew how to read English in North America, or maybe had, you know, maybe could write an index, you know, this was going on. And so they said, okay, here's what you're going to have. Four chapters of the Anti Lila, the latter part of the Anti Lila. I've been 2 years in the movement, and suddenly I'm in the midst of Lord Chaitanya's separation from Radha and Krishna. I said, whoa, this is pretty heavy stuff. You know, but there I was working on this. It was the most nectarian thing you could imagine. And then there was four chapters from the fifth canto. And one of those chapters was the hell chapter. Pretty scary. I remember in the middle of the night, I'm sitting there reading about, you know, if you do this, you get, you know, embraced by the lady. And you get, you know, they pour down the iron into your mouth. And say, whoa, you know. I felt that, okay, I won't do that. It's like that. So this was, you know, I got to edit eight of those chapters, but the idea was, this was life and death. You know, you got into this mood that it was absolutely essential that the deadline be met, and I felt very fortunate that I was drawn into this team to achieve this incredible goal for Srila Prabhupada. So that's my basic remembrance of this marathon, and just being in that whole atmosphere, it was extremely inspiring. As Maharaj said, it went all over the movement, and it really kind of moved everyone to a different level of what they felt was possible to do. There were really no limits. I think Ramaswamy mentioned that on the tape. So I think I'd like to turn the mic over to Ramaswamy because he's really the he knew everything that was going on in this marathon. He was
Let me see.
Before I can say anything, I would like to ask if Tulsidas is here. Is he?
He couldn't make it, man. He said he couldn't make it. He refuses to sit on a chair.
I can get higher. No, I can't, but I can do this. It's the best I can do, Maharaj.
He won't sit.
I'm sorry that Tulsidas wasn't able to make it because he was the temple president in New Dwarka. And it's not fair to say that the support that all the devotees were obtaining was just by a magic wand. Actually, it was due to the amazing collaboration of the New Dwarka Temple, and Tulsidas in particular, as the president, was just ready to do whatever it took to support the devotees who were working on at the press at this time. So when you see Tulsidas, you can offer your obeisances to him because he is a big part of why this happened. Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Bhaja Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I would like to especially thank Srimati Malati Devi for dragging me out of the material world to come to this transcendental ocean of nectar in New Vrindavan to be here today. Thank you very much. I will forever be indebted.
Thank you.
I don't think there's enough time to actually share all the different stories today. I'm going to try to share a few of these pastimes. And
will the mothers take the children that are not quiet to the next room? There's a loudspeaker there because it's very difficult to hear, and your children are not particularly hearing, but we would like to. The next room, there is a loudspeaker, and you can hear in there, and your children don't have to be quiet. Thank you very much.
Just turn off.
The wire's a little loose.
Hare Krishna. So just very... Hare Krishna. Very briefly...
I think it's the bottom here. Okay, try it again.
Hare...
Nothing.
Is it working?
It is.
Another mic.
The wire.
It's the wire.
Check
2, 1, 2.
Hare Krishna. Before this started, as you've heard, the BBT was on two different coasts of the United States. The production and art department was in New York, and the business offices and the warehouse. No, planning the printing with the publishing, actually, and then organizing the distribution was on the West Coast. So, I'm speaking from the perspective of the West Coast, New Dorka, and it came as a very big surprise, almost a real shock, when we first heard the inconceivable that Prabhupada had actually translated and written in his purports 17 volumes of books ahead of what we thought was the latest book that Prabhupada had written. This was itself inconceivable to us. We all thought before this that the rate the books were coming out of ISKCON Press was the rate that Srila Prabhupada was translating them. So this was the first illusion that was dispelled. And we began to get a better understanding of Srila Prabhupada and his not sleeping. It didn't fully hit us. What did that mean? That Prabhupada slept maybe 1 or 2 hours until we realized how many books he had written ahead of how many had been published, though. That was a big realization right there. Another thing that's very interesting to consider is when Srila Prabhupada was physically present here in this world was the center of the entire universe. And the demigods who are not living in the spiritual realm, they are on a lower plane than where Srila Prabhupada was. So it was truly the highest place in the universe when Prabhupada was here, as if Krishna had appeared. That is what happened because Prabhupada brought Lord Chaitanya. Exactly what happened 500 years ago, Prabhupada had revived and brought again. So in that spiritual world that appeared for that period of time, every devotee, wherever they were in the world, when they heard that Srila Prabhupada wanted something, that's all they needed to hear. They didn't have to think about anything else. And think about how many devotees, some with families, were living in New York. They had been there for some time. They were working there. That was their, those were their deities. That was their field of devotional activities. And then they heard that Srila Prabhupada wanted them to just get up, get on an airplane, pack up everything, and come to a different place, thousands of miles away. And it was a permanent move. It wasn't just a visit. And every devotee did that without a second thought. So when Devamrita Maharaj was explaining how in today's ISKCON this might be thought of, I don't know. I really truly am ignorant how it would be thought of. But I know that back then it didn't take but a second for the devotees to start packing. So if there is any difference between today and then, that's that. So you can think about that. When the order came, it just uproot your whole family. It didn't even matter. A lot of devotees had to move, and they did it instantly. All of you, very extraordinary. I wanted to just try to give a few more illustrations of what had happened. Years later, I was fortunate enough to, as one of Prabhupada's secretaries, I begged for a turn to travel with him. And I was allowed to in January of 1977. It was the first time I actually ever left the BBT. And I thought that was a good reason to leave. So for that month, I traveled with Srila Prabhupada and his personal servants, and I experienced something very amazing. None of us slept for that month. When we were with Srila Prabhupada, we were on his schedule, and the energy of the spiritual world that was always had descended and was within Srila Prabhupada had emanated to those who were immediately with him. And it is absolutely true that for that month, when I got back to New Dwarka, I started thinking about it. I said, how is this possible? I went a whole month with no sleep. I even remember once I was on the train and I actually dozed. I suddenly woke up and Srila Prabhupada was just sitting there staring at me because he was waiting for me to wake up so we could have some conversations. There was no sleep. So I'm saying that because that energy is exactly what Prabhupada imbibed into every devotee who came to work on this marathon. Prabhupada was in New Dwarka, but then he didn't stay for the whole 2 months. He traveled through America and then on his way back to India. But that energy entered the heart, the innermost place of the heart of every single devotee, and they did not need sleep. They barely needed to eat or sleep. And they didn't even think about it. It wasn't something that, I may get sick. It wasn't anything like that. Because you were feeling it. You didn't need to sleep. So there was no thought, oh my goodness, I'm missing my sleep, I'll get sick. That thought did not arise. That is just a small taste of what was happening when you were with Srila Prabhupada. Or when he poured his spiritual energy into you. It's quite amazing to just be a vessel, just like being a vessel, and Prabhupada was filling it. So when Radha Balava and I were on this walk, we had actually thought very carefully that we could change the pace of the press and come out with one book every 2 months. I just want to say that for about 10 days before this, Prabhupada was in Hawaii, and Harikesh was Prabhupada's secretary. There were some other devotees there, Brahmananda, Maharaj, and so on. And he enjoyed teasing me. We had a nice relationship like that. either every day or every other day, he would call me up from Hawaii to tell me how angry Srila Prabhupada is. How I had better be ready. How, and he was building this up day, call after call. He said, "You want to know who he's inviting to New Dwarka?" Satrup Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnu Chandra Maharaj, Kirtananda Swami. You can't believe the list of devotees that Srila Prabhupada was calling to meet him when he came to New Dwarka to pound us. This is how Hari Keshwar was explaining this. That he wanted to be supported by all the heavies. So that was what was leading up to Srila Prabhupada's arrival. And in fact, every one of those GBC and sannyasis were there. So we were just little brahmacharis absorbed in our service. So as this walk progressed, we thought, well, what if we had like two production lines instead of one? So we could say, okay, instead of a book every 2 months, we could do a book a month. So we thought about that. And I didn't tell this to Yadavara Prabhu when he first interviewed me. We suggested that to Srila Prabhupada, and he dismissed it in about 5 seconds. He actually paused to think about how long that would mean. Obviously, one book a month, 17 months. So he dismissed it. It took about 5 seconds. So our plan was to have a complete production line, do a book in 2 months, so if we had two production lines, they could, somehow we thought they could do a book a month. Okay, now with Prabhupada's order, each of these production lines in a month now would have to do 4 books. Not one, but 4. So the same number of devotees, because we didn't know that we were going to be bringing so many others, but there weren't enough hours in the day for it to mathematically work out, which is why I blurted out those foolish words that it's impossible. And when Srila Prabhupada said that impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary, things flash in your mind so rapidly that maybe years later you can try to remember. Oh, let's see. These heavy planets float in a perfect orbit. What kind of power is that that Krishna has? How could anything be impossible? There's so many things flash in your mind when Prabhupada said that. We're talking about God. And we're talking about the perfect representative, the Acharya, who embodied and came with all the potencies of Lord Chaitanya, of God, and is amongst us. So the idea of impossible actually was such a mundane concept of life. And this message traveled to every temple throughout the world. And every devotee understood that there is no such thing as impossible. There's no, you could go out and carry out the order of your spiritual master. You could preach. You could distribute books. There's no such thing as, oh, and it will burn me out. I can't imagine that how that may have arisen, that idea, but back in the day, when Srila Prabhupada was physically with us, we knew that nothing was impossible. We knew it, and he established it. This was one of the miracles that Prabhupada displayed in his potency to show this. Okay, so I just want to give perhaps maybe just one other really great example. The artists. Each book always had 7 or 8 paintings, and they were large canvases, and they were done in a very classical Renaissance style, and a painting from beginning to end, once it was conceived to when it was finished, would be 3 or 4 months of work. Just recently, I was talking to one of my dear god sisters, BBT artists, asking about a painting, and I asked, how long would it take if you were sponsored? 5 or 6 months, she thought. So paintings take a long time. So now we have 17 books. We have a finite number of artists. And we want to come up with seven or eight paint plates per book. What's the math? So 8 times 7 is 50. I needed 56 color plates a month. 8 books. A little more. Well, 8.
126 plates.
Yes. So certain things started to happen. Again, these powers of Srila Prabhupada being manifest. First, many ideas that were flooding our mind, we knew they were coming from Srila Prabhupada. They weren't coming from us. So we had this idea that we could send a photographer to India to photograph places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. But in order to do that, we had to very quickly read the Chaitanya Charitamrita so that we could give the assignment to Bhargava Das, a unique devotee. But anyway, by the second week, we had bought his ticket. We had skimmed through enough. He had his mission. And we told him, we'll contact you. We'll send you a telegram, whatever it takes. Once you're in India, we'll give you more missions. And email? It was very hard. It was very hard to make a phone call to India. I don't even want to describe the equipment. It is truly from another century. You could not even imagine the equipment, which we thought was modern. You know, just the other day in New York, we were designing something, and I said, "Okay, so I need the plate." And they looked at me like I'm some kind of a dinosaur. You need a plate. You have a digital file in a computer. I'm used to plates and transparencies, but really. So I was frozen in time. I'm just beginning to wake up. So we were able to get about maybe 20% of the plates done through this idea of photography. That was one idea. But we still had to come up with, how are we going to do these paintings? An amazing thing happened. I want to just call your attention to that painting on the wall over there of Krishna. You see how intricate that background is? The landscape, the background? If that painting was typically a 3-month painting, it would have been at least a month alone, if not longer, just to paint all those leaves and trees and plants and flowers. Really. So maybe like a few days after Prabhupada gave this order, on one of these morning walks, no, it wasn't on one of the morning walks, because he came to the temple somehow. I think someone from a morning walk brought him back, but this person, middle-aged gentleman named Hector, who had been found on the beach, as if he had just come out of the ocean or something, really, came to the temple, was very interested in spiritual life and yoga, and they introduced him to me, and we were talking for a few moments, and I asked, well, what do you do? He said, oh, I'm an artist. I said, really, what kind of an artist? And he said, well, I like to do, like, landscape art. I said, really? And how do you do that? Now, many of you don't know this, but there used to be this television program of some guy with a tool, and he would paint an entire painting like in a half an hour or something. You know, crazy. Maybe they still have that. So anyway, this Hector, who appeared out of nowhere, had the ability to do that background, right there, that entire background, in one day. And it would be as beautiful, as intricate, as detailed as that painting. So as soon as I realized that, obviously, Lord Chaitanya has just sent this person, and I don't know where he came from, but it doesn't matter. We then had this idea. This was the hardest part of the marathon. Up until this point, there had never been a painting that an artist who started it didn't finish it. It was their art. It was their expression. It was their devotion. That was their service. Yadavar does a movie. In the middle of it, he doesn't turn it over to somebody else who has a totally different interpretation and walk away. He does it. He's an artist. So we met with all of the artists and we told them that you have to give up your false egos. And they didn't know what I was talking about because they didn't think they had false egos. Because they were devotees, right? So I said, we're going to do something for this marathon, and afterwards we'll go back to what we used to do. We're going to have different artists work on the same painting. Of course, at first, they didn't know me, and they had just come to New Dwarka, and I had no background in art history or anything about art. So they think, who is this telling us how to paint? But I insisted, this is what we're going to do. And somehow these words came out of my mouth that each artist, before they were allowed to go on the canvas, would have to turn in 3 sketches. And I would have to approve them. And we had to spend, I'm digressing a little, Radhabalma and I, we had to stop everything and read through, not just for Bhargava, but we really had to read through the 15 remaining volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, because we had to figure out which scenes and pastimes lent themselves to being illustrated. We didn't have time for the artists to read the manuscripts, which was what used to happen. We did the reading, and we had to do it like in a couple of days. So I don't know how it happened, but somehow it happened. And so it was a process that went on. But so we gave out the paintings. We introduced Hector. They didn't believe it was possible till they saw what he could do. We told them, he's going to do the background of every one of your paintings. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he did the background of every painting from the last 15 volumes. But then I told them one other thing. I said, listen, I know this is going to be the most difficult thing, but... And we created this art department facility. And so there was this long room, the easels were there, and I said, if at some point in the day you collapse, maybe 2 in the morning, I'll understand if you have to go and take a nap for an hour or two. But if I still have an artist that's up, don't be surprised if you come back and I've asked that artist to go to your canvas and work on it. And then when you come back, it's a little more progressed because we have deadlines. And if they finish their painting and you haven't finished yours, I may do that. So none of them wanted to actually be anything but the last one in the art studio because they were so afraid that this was going to happen. So I'm just going to tell one last story. About 8 weeks, no, that'd be too long, that'd be a whole marathon. About 5 weeks into this marathon, there was that one moment where Parikit finally collapsed and needed to take a nap. And Jadarani had finished her painting for that book that night. And I know it was like two in the morning. So Parikit left. And I was hovering all the time over the paintings. And so I told Jadarani, okay, this is it. Now I want... And I moved her to Parikit's. We didn't touch the painting. She moved over to his seat. So because she has to use the same paints that he was using. Otherwise, you could never match. Anyway, I had Jadarani work on Parikit's painting for about an hour and a half. And then she got tired and said, okay, fine, you can't mess it up. That's it. So it was about 3 hours later when Prickett woke up, and I had a little office, and I was sitting behind my desk. My feet were up on the desk because that I wasn't sleeping, but that I guess was how my body rested. And Radha Vallabha was in the chair on the other side. We were just looking at each other and talking some things. And Prickett had come back to the art studio and had seen what had happened. And Prickett is this, he's such a wonderful, empowered devotee. And he has all this great energy and passion for Krishna. Incredible. And he's very strong also. Really. Powerful. Powerful. Built like a... He'd knock anyone out with one punch. That's, I mean, really powerful devotee. So when he saw what had happened, that Jadarani, because there was always this rivalry in Jadarani, and when he saw that happen, you could see it was like a bull. You could see the steam pouring out of his nose and mouth, and he went hunting for me. And he came to the entrance of a very small office, which is mine, and he stood at the door, working up his like intense transcendental anger. I don't know what this is. I'm saying this in front of Lord Shukadev. This was spiritual anger. It wasn't mundane, because he wanted it to be the best for Krishna. So he didn't think that was the best. That's what made him angry. And this happened very quickly, but I remember it in slow motion. at a complete, full-out sprint, like it was a 100-yard Olympic race, he started charging for me. And it couldn't be more than 15 feet, 10 feet. I don't know how deep the office was. But he was at a full charge, and I didn't even have a moment to react. It'd be like a very unskilled person facing a major league baseball pitcher at his, 100 miles an hour pitch. There's no time to so my feet are still up on the desk. I'm watching this in disbelief that I'm about to be pulverized through this chair. And okay, whatever. And just as he got to the around the side of the desk, something happened to him, to his heart. And his attack was amazingly transformed into a diving thunderbolt. He understood what we were all doing for Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
The letter.
This is more important. You have to have the concluding words.
At the request of His Grace, Dhammeshwar Prabhu, I will read Srila Prabhupada's final words regarding this amazing production.
This is the concluding words of Srila Prabhupada.
These are the words of Srila Prabhupada. In the meantime, I was introduced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time in later life, His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, would simply read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when the foreigners would learn Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. In this connection, I have to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Prajumna Das Adhikari, Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jai Advaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are so sincerely helping me in writing, editing, and publishing all these literatures. I think that His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by his words. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavye. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his Paramatma feature, is always sitting with all his devotees and associates. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master, because personally, I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master, his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to his divine grace. Certainly, if his divine grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though he is not physically present, I am confident that he is very much pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation, and I am glad to express my gratitude to the learned men in the Western countries who are so pleased with my books that they are ordering in advance all my books that will be published in the future. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples, who are determined to help me in this work, to continue their cooperation fully, so that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, dated November 10, 1974, at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Hare Krishna Land, Juhu, Bombay. His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
There is a thank you from Srila Prabhupada. That, no, Devamrita Maharaj has this memorized.
Out of humility, it's very strange for Prabhu. He's not speaking about the letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote after the volume arrived, the last volume arrived in his hand, and it's after his Vyasa Puja ceremony, which he nonchalantly just said, oh, you promised before the ceremony, now it is after? How is it? He then drafted a letter, addressing it to Rameshwar and company, so we all consider ourselves part of his company. And in that letter, Prabhupada enclosed the ticket. And of course, it's up to us to hold on to that ticket, but he sent a ticket in that letter. He ended the letter to Rameshwar and company saying that by their efforts, the efforts of Rameshwar and company, because of those efforts, you're all about to go back to Godhead.
And you understand this was a one-way ticket. But all of you can also have that same ticket by assisting Srila Prabhupada and Rameshwaran Company in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books.